Hey everybody, welcome back to Two Sisters Formula One. We are here today to talk about the Hungarian Grand Prix, which was a doozy.
Probably my least favorite race I've ever witnessed. But it was entertaining, I guess, from some.
I think that's a little dramatic.
I'm just so sad. Like, I'm sad for so many reasons, but we'll get into that. Like, I just, for me, just too much happened to where I couldn't enjoy it anymore. I feel for a bunch of guys that got screwed, and yeah.
Yeah, the beginning was definitely rough and pretty much just carried on into the rest of the race. So, our favorites did not have a good day. But it was still a good race.
I liked Monza better, I'm not gonna lie, but
you can't deny that it was entertaining as hell.
See, I actually wasn't. Like, it was lap 28 and I was like, I feel like I've been watching this race for 3 hours.
Yeah, it did feel like it took forever. But the whole time it's like you didn't know what was gonna happen. It wasn't one of those races where it's like, okay, hand bought ver.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't one of those races, but I, like, honestly didn't enjoy it. I felt like it took too long. I knew how it was going to end for the people that mattered to me. So, and I knew who was going to win after, like, the fourth lap. So, I was just, it's whatever. But, we'll get into it. So.
First, we need to talk about qualifying.
Yeah, the first little spicy thing that happened this weekend was poor little Carlos just spun and hit the wall in qualifying in Q2. He didn't even set a time. I didn't realize that, so I went back. He didn't even set a time. Which, that was something. I feel like they were waiting later and later to go out this weekend. But also, I remember in Q2 how they said that yeah, that part in Q2 where Lando, like, jumped to, like, P2 because they said the track had gotten so warmed up or something and the grip was really good.
They were laying down more rubber, and so they had more grip as more people went.
Yeah, so I was pretty surprised with Carlos. That was really sad. I mean, hindsight, it worked out, but he didn't know that. So, yeah, that's...
Well, another one that had a poor qualifying, but... it worked out in the race was George. He didn't even make it into Q2.
Very true. Also, well, let me look to see where this guy came in the race. Yeah, Yuki. Yuki didn't make it into Q3 or Q2. And he came 7th.
That's crazy.
It really is. But I guess that's the thing. You never know. We'll see. What's crazy is I remember I texted you because George had said, the next place for us to try for points is Hungary. And then he didn't make it into Q2. And I said, well, that's over. I'm pissed about that. But
little did we know, all hell would break loose.
I knew they would score points and it would be a horrible race for me. But it is what it is. So, yeah. That's all I really remember about qualifying.
Yeah, the qualifying wasn't really... that crazy. I mean, you had the two Mercedes who went 1 and 2, which was kind of crazy that all of a sudden, like, now they're back to being the top two. And then again, there was Lewis who infringed on the two Red Bulls, backing them up. So Sergio couldn't get his second lap in Q3. And then also, did you know that Lewis, like, purposely slowed down so that Max had dirty air for his second lap?
No, but did you see the whole thing about how Sebastian, I think, or Kimi, was one of the Ferraris a few years ago, did this to Lewis at Hungary, and he, like, moaned about it on the radio, and everybody was like, okay.
Yeah, I saw people saying that, like, that's where Lewis learned it from, because he'd had the same thing done to him, which, I mean, it is what it is. That's the whole idea of racing. You do what you can to get away with.
But... don't complain. Like, Lewis is just so hypocritical. And, like, that's what frustrates me to no end. But.
Yes. Because in the press conference after, he said that he doesn't do tactics like that. He doesn't play games. Which, come on, dude. Obviously, you were. Like, it's fine. Just say you were. Anybody else would do it if given the opportunity. Christian Horner even said that. So just say that that's what you did, and that's part of racing. It doesn't make you a bad person. It's just the pretending.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, come on, dude. Come on. So, yeah. We had the Mercedes 1 and 2, Red Bull 3 and 4 in qualifying. Also, Charles had a good qualifying.
I think it sucks because I think Red Bull's momentum came from a time where, like, the schedule was so good for their car. It's just, I don't think it's...
That's how it's been in the past, too, is that they would get really good results at the beginning of the year and then just kind of fade away towards the end.
I thought it was the opposite, especially last year. Like, Christian said, like, we don't really come out of the gate running until it's too late. But, yeah.
I thought you were talking about McLaren.
No, I'm talking about Red Bull.
Oh, sorry. I missed that.
We're not talking about McLaren yet because it's too much.
Grace is fighting back tears. Okay, let's move on to the race.
Okay. Let me just...
Let's acknowledge the elephant in the room.
I feel like I'm pretty... I mean, obviously, Valtteri wasn't in my top 10, but I feel like I'm someone who low-key kind of roots for him. I'm like...
You definitely do.
Like, he's never really given the benefit of the doubt. He's being just pushed out of that team. Let's get real. This race solidified. It is George in that seat. 100%. But anyways. Freaking Valtteri. I'm sorry, dude. I like you. But if you're going to touch Lando's car, don't do it to this extent. Like, I mean, I saw that. And I don't even know what I thought. I was watching it with Daddy and Mama. And I was just like, okay, I don't want to watch it anymore. I saw him go in. What?
I just said, no, Lando. And then I said, no, Daniel too.
Well, I immediately thought, more than Lando, oh crap, Max. I was like, you've got to be kidding me right now. I mean, so Lando took out Max, who then took out Checo. I don't really know how Daniel got spun. I can't remember.
Because Lance took out Charles, who hit Daniel.
So, okay, let's go to Lance, because I think I understand him seeing all that happening, but he literally just yeeted off the freaking, like, apex and onto Charles.
I know. Lance is like, dude, what were you even doing? Valtteri, too, because he just, like, straight ran into the back of Lando.
Yeah, and, like, Nico, I really like Nico commentating.
Was really interesting.
And, I mean, like, he sees the error of Valtteri, and I kind of am like, Valtteri, you've been in that car for how long? You've been in Formula One for how long? And you're doing, like, it wasn't even really raining. Like, yeah, the track was wet, but it wasn't even really raining. Like, you know that it is raining. They're not going to be going as fast as they normally are around this freaking turn. Also, they're going to be braking sooner because it's so damn slick. Like,
yeah, I really don't know what happened there. Also, how annoying is it that it rained just enough to cause that chaos and then it was immediately over with?
Yeah, I was mad because Lewis isn't even really that good in the rain, if I'm honest. So, I think, yeah. So, basically, it was Lando was out, which kind of surprised me. I mean, I understand, like, there was a lot of damage to the floor and also the back. And that's something I want to know if they're going to have a new power unit or anything, which stresses me out. Granted, I don't know how long they had this one. So, Lando was out. Checo was out.
Which, Checo might need a new engine.
Yes. Valtteri's out. Charles is out. Lance was out. And then Mazepin was out.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I hope Checo... Red Bull, they just need a bone. Somebody throw them the bone.
Well, what's so crazy is that it keeps being Mercedes that takes them out.
There was a part of me where I was like, was this planned? Like, was this, like, maybe not the Lando part?
It always works out, like, just too well. That makes you question it. I mean, obviously, I know that Valtteri didn't purposely do it. But how does it always happen that way with them?
I don't know.
Just so lucky.
And, which obviously, that takes us to how they red flagged the race. So,
no one knew what tire they knew.
Yeah, Lewis didn't have damage. However, half the freaking grid did, which I thought they were going to retire Max. I'm not going to lie. I guess I'm glad they didn't. I don't really know that what the 2 points he got really helped them at all, but every point helps, I guess. So this red flag, everybody, we then find out Lando is going to get screwed and he's going to have to retire. And then they're going around on their formation lap, which I do remember Carlos. I do remember Carlos on his formation lap speaking to his engineer, which I didn't know on the formation lap you can't speak to your engineer.
Right. Yeah.
So I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that, but I found that out before Carlos did it, and I was thinking, Carlos, why are you talking to your engineer? Like, stop. So, of course, anyways, literally the entire grid goes in for slicks, except for Lewis.
I just said it was so funny seeing Lewis at the restart just by himself.
That basically should just be how the race was. Let's be, I mean, okay, we'll get into the real winner, but yeah, that was, honestly, I don't really remember how crazy the race itself was, because after, like, lap 30, or no, after lap, like, 50, I think I started getting ready to leave. But, yeah, there was a bunch of pit stops that surprised me.
Yeah, there were a ton of pit stops. But I think people knew that going into it, that there would be a lot of pit stops that race.
What did you think about Pierre getting the fastest lap? Did you think they were doing that to help Red Bull, or, like...
I've seen some comments say that, too, that it seems like everyone just wants Lewis to be beat so that they're all, like, trying to help Max. I mean, see, it makes sense because AlphaTauri is Red Bull's sister team, so...
It looks like that from the outside, but, I just wonder.
When has AlphaTauri ever done that? Granted, like, when have they ever really had a shot to get the fastest lap? But I
wouldn't need to.
I feel like that could have been a helmet call.
Well, see, that's what I was thinking. I was like, do you think Red Bull actually did get on the radio?
We're in, like, hey, bring him to you. We're in desperate times, so we need whoever we can to take that point from Lewis.
Something else that actually, because it came, I'm pretty sure Nico said it about Pierre wants that Red Bull seat. And I'm confused. Like, is it not common knowledge that he is not ever going to be in that Red Bull seat? Unless they, and I don't mean that in the sense of, like, he'll never be good enough. But I'm thinking by the time Sergio retires and he's not needed, there's going to be Liam Lawson or Yuri Vips or the other guy in F2 that I can't remember. I mean, Jack. Jack might be too young from this timeline that I'm thinking of. But, like, I just don't think it's going to be in the cards.
You know Red Bull likes to pull young drivers.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't think it's going to be in the cards for Pierre to ever go back to Red Bull.
Yeah, but it'll be interesting to see where he would go, because surely he's not going to stay at AlphaTauri forever.
I mean, I really love the idea of him either taking Esteban's seat or sitting beside Esteban at Alpine, because I think them and their, how they used to be friends and they're not friends so much now, would be very interesting.
It would be interesting. But I would vote for that too. That's what I would want to see. Speaking of Esteban, got his first win.
So here's my thoughts on this. So they said this is the second hardest track to pass on, which I'm assuming the track ahead of it is Monaco. So it's his first win. Great for Esteban. He didn't make a lot of mistakes with Seb chasing him down, and he defended really well. I'll give him that. But I'm sorry. I'm not going to sit here and act like this was one of the greatest drives I've ever, maybe from him, because let's get real, Esteban is not a top-tier driver yet. But I think I'm biased because I don't really like him. But he didn't do anything that impressed me. I mean, it was great that he was able to keep Sebastian behind him. I get it. Sebastian also had a faulty pit stop that took, like, an extra second that I think would have changed things. But
he was definitely at the right place at the right time. I mean, they even said it when they showed the replay of the crash, like that the Red Sea just opened and he just had a clear little path. Everyone just moved out of his way and, you know.
Yep.
He just went right behind Lewis, so.
I mean, that kind of happened to Sebastian, well, too.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's not really as impressive. And he also had Fernando fighting off Lewis for how many laps? Which, if it wouldn't have been for that, Lewis would have totally caught him and would have won the race. So.
I'm really starting to like Fernando. He's just being all cute now. He's doing his little museum of helmets, and he's really supportive of Esteban, which I don't like him, but, you know, it's good to see teammates be supportive.
Also, those laps of him fighting off Lewis
were so absolutely
insane. That just proves, like, how good he is for him to be 40 and for him to still be able to hold Lewis off.
It makes me think, is he better than what maybe I'm thinking and maybe some of the other fans are thinking? Because that's not, let's be real, it's not a good car. I think this was just a right place, right time. He was fighting Aston Martin, who also is not a good car. All the other cars had problems. Yeah, so I wonder, is Fernando still that Fernando?
I think that race proved that he was. And I voted for him driver of the day.
You want to know who I voted for driver of the day? Because we can get into this little cute radio message.
George Russell.
I voted for Nicholas. Yes.
I mean, he did a great job, too.
If we're going to talk about anybody, can we not give Nicholas Latifi some props? Also, somebody else I want to talk about. I'll get into him after this. But yeah, Nicholas and George, I think this is also why I like Nicky, whatever they call him. I like him because George likes him. And to be fair, George is a nice guy, so I think he likes most people. But I think George does think he's a pretty good driver. Like, yeah, he's a paid driver. But that message where Nicholas was in, like, third or something, and George says, compromise my race if you want to, if it means getting Nikki a good position.
Yeah, that was cute.
I don't think we'll ever hear that ever again in the history of Formula One.
I think he is definitely going to Mercedes next year. And so this whole season, he's just trying to get the best results for Williams to kind of, like, leave a legacy of, like, you know, when we started here, we were at the bottom with no hope of getting points. And now I'm leaving here with, they both got points.
They got 10 points. Well, not if they don't get 10, if Sebastian keeps the P2, but
yeah.
So they're above Alfa Romeo, I think.
Yeah, Alfa Romeo, I think, has, like, 2 or 3 points. I mean, Williams is solidly, like, the 7th best constructor. Who would have thought 1 or 2 years ago that they would turn it around that much? I mean, I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but, I mean, they were, like, the laughing stock, always at the bottom.
The only thing that would have made it that much sweeter is if George or Nicholas would have, you know, said, Frank and Claire, this was for y'all. That would have been, like, that probably would have killed me, honestly. But I think that would have been a really cute, man, I wish they would have, I mean, I don't know. I kind of wish Claire and Frank would have stayed, but then at the same time, I don't think maybe they would have progressed as much if they did. So I don't know, but that's sad. But do you know the other driver that impressed me, impressed Nico, impressed Crofty, I'm pretty sure?
Who?
Just little old Mick Schumacher.
Yeah.
He was getting his elbows out. I mean, even him and Max bummed a little bit, and I was like, okay, I see this.
You definitely saw a little bit of his defending skills and his racing skills today, which was cool. Which is why I say this race was so great. There was so much good that came out of it, even with the bad.
I don't know. Right now, the bad outweighs the good. But maybe I will say one silver lining of Lando being out was that Valtteri and Checo were. So he's still number three in the standings. Nothing's changed. Yeah.
Which I'm also really happy that Seb got a podium. And then very sad that they took it away because of a technical infringement.
Or did they? I still don't fully understand the whole, they're appealing it. So
they've definitely taken it away, but they're going to listen to the appeal. But, like, how do you even appeal that? That's like, they either had enough fuel or they didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was, like, I left by the time the podium and stuff was going on. So I didn't see, like, the laps after. But, yeah, I saw where, you know, Esteban and Sebastian just parked their cars. They were like, we ain't got enough gas.
Let's run down the track.
Yeah.
Which also, why did that happen to so many of them? I don't understand.
Who else did it happen to?
I think George stopped his car too. And I think maybe Latifi did too.
Well, see, in my head, I'm thinking, oh, it makes sense that Esteban and Seb kind of ran out because they were going at it the whole time, it seemed. George maybe kind of too. I don't really know, yeah, why they struggled so much with that. I don't know.
I don't really understand how that works, how they figure out how much fuel they need. And
well, I just know they have to have, like, 1 liter of fuel to do the sample. And I think there's something about 0.3 is, like, the least amount they can have, maybe. But also, I think Williams could have just, like, not knowing what to do with themselves, so they were pushing it more than they should have sometimes, maybe, and that's why they ran out of fuel a little bit. But yeah, I don't know.
Could be. So yeah, Seb getting second was really cool. If he would have, God, imagine if he would have passed Esteban and then they would have taken his win away. I'm glad that didn't happen.
Yeah, that would have been a crappy way for Esteban to also get his first win. So
true. And then Carlos, he got another podium, which is exciting. But now, McLaren and Ferrari are tied in the standings, which sucks as a McLaren fan.
So this is where I kind of got some stuff to say about Daniel. Not this race, because I understand he had a lot of damage with that car. I get it. I wasn't really expecting much from him. But it's just times like this where you really do see how you have to have two good drivers that can drive that car. Because, I mean, I'm pretty sure the biggest difference between points is between, like, Pierre and Yuki, but Lando and Daniel. Like, there's just such a huge difference. And then you have Ferrari, who I think Carlos now has 83 points and Charles has 80. Like, they're so close in points, and that's why Ferrari's done so well. That's why McLaren did well last year. So it's stressing me out, because I swear if McLaren does not get third because Daniel cannot figure out the car, we're going to have issues.
Well, it's really frustrating because he keeps saying, I don't really know where I'm losing pace because I feel like my laps are good and then I'm half a second down from Lando. And that's where it's concerning, because it's like, if you don't even know what needs to be changed or how to improve, like, how is it going to get better?
I just worry, because his contract is over in, what, 2023?
I think it's just a 2-year contract.
There's a bit of worry for me that we could be witnessing his last couple of years. Granted, I say that.
There ain't no way.
I don't know. New regulations can change things. Maybe another team could. It could be like a Seb where, like, yeah, he's not performing at McLaren, but another team would be like, it's Daniel. We're getting him. So.
Right.
I do think, though, if he does not have a hold of that car by this time next year, Zach, I know you like him. I know he's a good guy, but no, I can't. You can't, especially when you have Lando. You never know.
Who would you put in that seat?
You never know. I don't know. I mean, that would be 2 years. So it'd be for 2023. There's no telling. Maybe Mercedes going to suck and George wants to see. Maybe Max is trying to leave Red Bull and Max wants to see. Who knows?
Man. Well, let's talk about the championship battle between Max and Lewis now. I think the championship battle is kind of done.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest with myself. I mean, when you consider the fact that Sergio and Max are going to run out of their allotted engines and are going to have to more than likely take a grid penalty down the road. I mean, that means another race where you're fighting just to get any kind of points. Unless there's some kind of like crazy mayhem that happens with Mercedes, which, as we continue to say, never happens. Unless George Russell is driving the Mercedes, then all hell breaks loose. But it just seems like Mercedes has all the momentum now, and with the engines looming over them, it just feels like there's going to be more races where we're going to see Max and Checo at the back of the grid to start.
Yeah, I do kind of think the battle's over. I mean, obviously, Max and Checo both are still going to be driving their little hearts out, but I do think the engines are going to be a big problem. Something else that, I'm not saying he's faking an illness or anything, but something that I just can't be bothered to care about is Lewis talking about how he has long-term COVID problems because he had fatigue and dizziness after the race. I'm sorry, Lewis. I don't care. I don't care if you're dizzy after you get out of the car. I don't care if you feel tired after racing for 70 laps. You're still winning, so please just shut up. And I just, it's so hard because I get he's such a good driver. I understand it, but there are just things about him where I'm just like, just be a good driver and, like, just don't be hypocritical. I mean, I know kind of everyone can be, but, like, I just need you to talk about something else. Talk about how much you love racing. Talk about how much Michael Schumacher meant to you. I don't know. Just, I don't want to hear about these little fatigue and dizziness spells that you've got going on.
I mean, he very well could be having issues because of COVID. I have no idea. But I don't know why he has to, like, explain that or say that. It feels like everything he does, he's trying to paint himself as the victim so that everyone feels bad for him and is on his side, I guess. But, yeah, I think if he just was straight up with everything, more people would be on his side to begin with.
Yeah, something else we didn't talk about that happened was him getting booed after qualifying.
And after the race, too.
Oh, I didn't know he got booed.
Yeah.
Okay. This kind of does open up another conversation. I've been seeing a lot of, I didn't recognize it, like, their names. So I don't know if they were drivers and other formulas or whatever, but a lot of people say that the booing is very disrespectful. And, like, let me look at this one tweet that I sent you, because if they don't like booing, they better not come to America. So this one person, I think he is a driver. He's a BMW factory driver, Formula One test and simulator driver for Aston Martin. He said, "The people booing at Lewis Hamilton are unquestionably not real race fans. These people have zero idea of the hard work and dedication to be at the top of the sport and also what he has done for it. No place for it at all. Really poor." Dude, I'm sorry, but don't come to America, because I promise you, I'm sure Lewis has fans in America, but I promise you he's got haters in America, because I know some of them. Like, I just don't get it. Like, I know it probably sucks to be booed, but who cares? Lewis is still winning. Who cares?
I love how he was on both of our top 10 lists, and then now we're just absolutely railing him.
He was purely on my list just because he's a GOAT. I know that's how he's going to be looked at. I understand we're witnessing a great driver. But blah, blah, blah. I don't care anymore. I don't want to watch him win the championship again. I'm tired of it. It's stale. I want Max to beat him in his prime so badly. And it's just like Max is doing everything in his power. And it's like he's, for the most part, the thing that also sucks is he should have another win with Baku, but he doesn't.
Yep. That And you knew when it happened that that was going to come back and haunt all of us.
But it wouldn't really matter because if that red flag hadn't happened, Lewis wouldn't have pressed that magic button and he would have finished third. So I don't think it would have mattered that much. Because Lewis, he still got points that race. No, he didn't. He didn't get points that race. So I don't think it really would have done much.
Yeah, that's true. It's just frustrating for Max to be doing so well and to have so much happen. That's not even, like, it's outside stuff that keeps happening. It's not even like the team is screwing him over. Mm-hmm. It's like just random stuff. And the Mercedes just yeeting him every race now, apparently.
And I know Max is like mentally very strong and all that. But how strong is this guy got to be? Like, he's finally just at a point where he can beat Lewis if he could just race. But I feel for Max. Like, you can tell he just wants it so bad. He's trying so hard. And also, he didn't really have a hissy fit when being asked questions about the Silverstone thing. He was like, listen, we race each other. We race fair. I'm tired of, like, getting asked all these questions about the crash. It happened. I don't want to deal with it anymore. So.
Yeah.
I really like Max. And I feel for him. I'm so sad.
I think this break is coming at a very good time.
I think everyone needs it. Everyone except for, like, Esteban. Yeah, everybody except for Esteban. They want to go on, go party. But, yeah.
Ooh. We've been through a lot these past two races. I'll tell you that.
I know. I thought last race was bad. Little did I know. It's going to get worse.
You had another storm coming.
Sadly. Also, like, Lando talking crap about Valtteri and the Valtteri walking up. He was just like, oh, okay. Also, but in that other interview, when they asked, are you going to go talk to Valtteri? And he said, he came over and he said, sorry, but apologies don't do anything for me. I'm like, okay, Lando.
He said, apologies are nice, but they don't change the outcome.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, yep, you're right.
He is. He handled it well, too, I think. He could have easily started talking crap, but he didn't. He was just like, well, it's over for me, but whatever.
Well, so, I think that's about all that we have to say for the race, the Hungarian Grand Prix.
Hopefully we got some more episodes. What? Yes, we do. That's what I was going to say. Hopefully we get some more stuff out during this break.
Hopefully we've got some more episodes that we're working on that will be able to come out before Spa in a month, which is also your birthday weekend. Okay, so we will see you on our next episode. Thanks for listening in. Bye.
Bye.